I'm Brandon Isle with BYU Idaho Radio, and part of our celebration of 40 years of KRIC and BYU Idaho Radio, I'm bringing in different people who have worked in and around the stations. And today I have with me Dylan Carter. He works for Local News 8 right now, does the morning show as an anchor, and has been in radio and TV for his career. But he worked at KWBH as a student at Ricks College. Dylan, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be back up on campus. It's so different. The entire city of Rexburg is just so different than what it used to be when I was here. So it's great to be back.
Yeah, so you were here in the late 90s.
98 to 2000.
Yeah, right before we became BYU Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
So this was...
I think I was here at the school when they made the big announcement.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And then, of course, the transition happened after I left, but... We were here for the announcement.
I was not. I was on my mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and so I missed it. I came in 99 and then went on my mission in 2000 and came back, and it was a whole new school.
Yeah, very different.
So let's just reminisce a little bit about the days of KWBH. While we're not celebrating 40 years of KWBH, it is certainly part of the history of BYU Idaho Radio, and what is now KBYR is what KWBH was before. And you had an integral role as one of the student employees involved with KWBH. Can you kind of explain what you did and what that was like?
Yeah, the station was kind of like part of the class. And so we took the radio class, and basically everybody in the class got two-hour shifts on the air at KWBH throughout the week. That was part of the actual class. It's almost like a lab for the class. And so as part of that too, they had student managers. So part of the, you applied and you got to be in charge of certain aspects of, I was in charge of like our promotions. And then we had our, I think our productions or, we had several different student leadership. And so I had the opportunity to be one of those. And it was absolutely great. I remember when I was here, I think I hosted, and we got to do different things with our show. I mean, we had to get it approved, but I think me and another student, we hosted an 80s show. I think I remember it was one of my shifts.
And this is in the 90s.
This was the 80s. So 80s wasn't that far removed, really. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I remember that's when I first met you and being in that class. Ernie Reitelback was the teacher, and he had long experience in radio. And just seeing... the employees, you were just sophomores. Like you were just like year ahead
much.
Of us.
Yeah, pretty much. Year two students basically were the student staff. So,
and just looking at you guys going, oh, wow, they're so cool. Like you had so much experience in my eyes, having zero experience and getting on the air.
Well, it's funny because that's kind of how I felt too. Because after that group that I was year twos with, it was about getting towards the end of year one and they were needing people to apply for next year's. And I remember they weren't getting very many people to apply. And I remember one of the fellow students, I wish I could remember her name, but she ended up being one of the student staff with me. And she's like, how come you're not applying? It's like, oh, I'm not good enough. It's like, sure you are. Go ahead and do it. So she convinced me and I was able to get it. And I felt like you. I was like, I'm not at that level. I can't be one of the leaders. But, Brother Reitelback was such a great... a teacher and mentor for us and for that class that he gave us a lot of confidence and a lot of instruction on really how to learn and how to be leaders. And it was a great experience.
Yeah. I remember it was so cool and scary at the same time, because we really were given the keys to the kingdom. If you think about it, it was like, okay, you've got this 2-hour block that you get to DJ and good luck. I mean, we had some training obviously, but after the training, it was, you were on your own.
Yeah,
and you
really
had those
were.
2 hours to take care of.
Yeah. And then they'd listen to the air check. And that was part of the thing that we did too, as the student leaders, is that we would help Brother Reitelback listen to the air checks and kind of help him grade the air checks a little bit as well. And we were pretty much given the freedom to kind of do whatever we wanted with the shows. I know some people did more of a talk type show. Some people did, we had that strange format that people like love to talk about, whereas I can't remember what the exact percentage was, but I think it was like 60-40 or 70-30. We had to be this percent of gospel-oriented music, and then the rest of it could be like pop music. And it was such a weird format that people just kind of, I think, enjoyed it just because of the bizarreness of it.
Yeah. And I remember the signal didn't get very far. Like, you could hear us on campus.
Not much beyond that, if I remember.
Yeah. I heard it described recently as it dribbled out of the windows.
Yeah. It's a great way to describe it.
But it was fun, and people did listen on campus, and
they did, yeah.
And just the experience that we got, live remotes, and just all the different things. Were you involved with some of the remotes and some of the other?
Yeah, I remember things? We did some of the live remotes. I think I remember there was a yearly talent show, and I forget what it was. Kind of modeled based on that. MTV had like an Unplugged special that was kind of popular at the time. And so it was kind of similar to that, where it was an acoustic talent show. And we did live remotes from there. And of course, that was back when we had the sports program. And so KWBH, this was part of the experience that probably, you know, helped me a lot too. And in what I was able to do later is that we broadcast the women's basketball games here at Rick's, the baseball and softball. And I had the chance to do all of those on KWBH. So we did sports broadcasts. We did live remotes. We did pretty much anything any other radio station would do.
Yeah. So exciting. Now, let me back up a little bit. When did you first decide that you wanted to try radio? Like, was that something you always wanted to do, or it just kind of happened upon it?
Well, the way I kind of got into media in general is that, you know, I love sports, and I knew I wanted to work in sports in some capacity. And I'm like a 5'10 slow white guy. So I know pretty much my best opportunity at sports probably wasn't going to be on the field. So I probably had to find something to do otherwise. And so I thought media, that's what really kind of got me into media. But then, you know, once you kind of get into it, you kind of really, I tell people that live broadcasting, whether it's radio or TV, it kind of gets in your blood, and then you can't get rid of it. And yeah. it's such a great, unique experience that you can't really, you know, experience in any other way. But that's kind of what got me into it, was my love for sports, and I figured that was going to be my best avenue to work in sports, and it has worked out. I've had the opportunity to work in sports in many different capacities, but you know, when you kind of fall in love with the business and you do news, you do all sorts of... I even filled in for weather for a month over at Channel 8 back in the day when they were between weather people, so you kind of just get into it and kind of do what you got to do, and then you kind of fall in love with it.
Yeah. What is it for you to have been around this medium and be able to be recognized in the public for what you do?
I think it's very nice. I mean, there's been times, it kind of depends on what I'm doing, how often I get recognized. I can tell you I've gotten recognized a lot more since I went to the morning show on Local News 8. Because I used to be the sports director before that. So I was on at 10 o'clock at night doing the sports casts. And I was just a joke that a lot of people go to bed after weather, because not very many people actually, more people see me now in the mornings than I think probably ever saw me when I was doing sports. But it is kind of nice, especially when you're doing something that helps people to know what's going on. And particularly with our morning show, it's more of a lighthearted show. I mean, we give you the news and serious important stuff you need to know, but we have a lot of fun as well. And I think just being able to help people start their day in a way that we can deliver the news that's more digestible. It's not so hard, so heavy. We tell you what you need to know, but we also make you feel good, make you laugh, and make you want to get out of bed. And I think for me, that's probably one of the most rewarding parts, is just knowing that people, you're in their house every day, and when you see them, it's, you're almost like family to them. It's really remarkable.
Yeah. Did you ever feel that when you were working for KWBH? Like, would students see you doing a remote or whatever and kind of geek out for a minute?
Not a whole lot. Sometimes, though. I mean, there were one or two that kind of knew what KWBH was, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard you before, kind of a thing. But
you're a radio guy.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I can tell by your face. You have a face for radio.
That's what they always tell us, right? Well, that's so fun. What was it about radio that at Rick's College at the time that you've carried with you into your career, that you've continued through TV and when you worked in radio commercially?
Well, I think the best part about radio, and you don't get this so much with TV, maybe a little bit more because our morning show is a little bit more chatty, but just the ability to kind of go in whatever direction, just the conversation kind of leads in radio. And I think my radio experience starting with KWBH, I think has made me a better broadcaster, even as an anchor. When there are times when you have to ad lib or you have to just kind of fill time, and having that experience on live radio to just be able to do that, that I got starting with KWBH has been invaluable. You know, you see sometimes they're anchors that once the prompters goes or once it's time to ad lib, they have no idea what to say. And I always tell, Jeff Roper, he's our morning weatherman, and he's also a radio guy. And you know, us radio people, we can get through pretty much whatever because of that experience. And being able to get that experience in a kind of a low pressure but live environment like KWBH. I remember there used to be that sign in the studio in the old Sporey building that says, "It's only live radio. Nobody died." Which is just like, it's okay. If you kind of mess up, if you don't do it just quite, it's okay.
Yeah.
And to kind of have that great medium and that great opportunity to just kind of get your feet wet was such a great start to, that kind of helped me in, get my career started.
Yeah, that's awesome. I, as part of my class that I teach, the radio class, I do have the students go live at least once in the semester. And I tell them, you're going to sweat and that's okay. I want you to do hard things. And they, every single one of them get through the experience. And I think they are always proud that they got to do that. It is something that you can say, hey, I did that. I was live on the radio, and it's cool that you've been able to use that in your career even today. 24 years later?
Yeah, we're getting up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. When you think about 40 years of BYU Idaho Radio and KRIC and the legacy of radio on this campus, how does that make you feel that you've been a part of it?
It's really humbling, really, to be part of this. I know the legacy of KBYI, and I think it was it KRIC, I think, back in the day, was when we were there. I mean, I remember, we used to joke that, they were the professionals and the second level, and we're just down here, the student station. But I just remember, the setup that they have and just being involved in that, because the KRIC used to broadcast the Rex football and men's basketball games. Mm-hmm. And I just remember they used to, back when we had sports, the women would play, and then like the men for basketball, the women's basketball team would play, and then they were immediately followed by the men's game. They played back to back. And so as we were like kind of cleaning up our KWBH broadcast for the women's game, they were setting up there, getting ready to broadcast the men's game, and just, having that legacy of broadcasting here at Ricks College and BYU Idaho is really tremendous, and a lot of broadcasters, radio and TV, that came through this Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Rexburg market, have links to this, and it's a great legacy.
Yeah, I was talking to Lamar Barris, who was the station manager at one point, and just learning the history of this is so cool. He said this was the very first public radio station in Idaho, based in Idaho. And yeah, it's exciting to be a part of. Dylan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It was so great to be back.
Yeah,